Our reading this evening comes from the Gospel of John. We read from chapter 21, and we read from verse 1 through to verse 19. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I am going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. But they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Jesus would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. In this time between the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and his Ascension Sunday, we will look at, as we've looked at in the last couple of weeks, the resurrection appearances of Jesus. You remember we shared the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We shared the doubt of Thomas, the disciple. Two occasions when Jesus made a special appearance, as it were, to those who were doubting and uncertain. We remember that Thomas especially was someone who declared, when he saw Jesus, my Lord and my God, he came to believe. Now this is the third occasion that Jesus appeared to his disciples before his ascension. And for me, it's always been a fascinating story. Because here we have the disciples, knowing that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, and knowing that they had seen him on two previous occasions at least. But now there's still those who have that element of doubt and uncertainty within their hearts. Could it be that the Lord was arisen? Was it an apparition that appeared to them, or was it the risen Lord? Those are the sort of questions they might have been answered, and they were simple fishermen, we remember. They weren't learned men, they were those who were fishermen, considered to be the most lowliness of occupations of the time, whose lives were dominated by the tides, and who never would be able to attend the synagogue or the temple to worship for that very reason. So they went back to fish, to do what they had done before. Simon Peter said quite simply, right, I've had enough. I can't take any of this in at the moment. I've really got to go back and do some fishing. And everybody else said, we'll come with you. And that's what happened. They went and they put their boats out into the deep. And unfortunately, even though they tried, they didn't catch anything. You and I have heard fishermen stories, haven't we? people who say, wow, see the one that got away. Remember when I was a youngster, we used to go fishing sometimes with friends. And it was always so disappointing that we didn't have a catch. We didn't catch anything. So do you remember in town there was a shop called McFisheries? We used to nip into town, buy a couple of mackerel and show, Mom, look what we've caught. Those were the days, as it were. Wouldn't get away with now. And unfortunately, I was caught out on one occasion because of the fish that I hadn't seen was 1 and 6. So they were caught out. The reality is, of course, is that here was the story of fishermen. Fishermen who were uncertain, fishermen who needed the affirmation again that Christ was alive. And Jesus appeared to them. They didn't know it was the Lord. They didn't recognize him, even at this point. Surely they would have known him by now. Children, have you any fish? And they answered, no. Unrecognizable. Is it the Lord? Can it be the Lord? Well, it was. And the Lord said to them, go and cast your nets at the other side of the boat. And I can imagine the indignation of those who had been fishermen for all of their lives, being told by a man who was not a fisherman to cast the net the other side. But they did, and they caught an abundance of fish, 153 in all. Now, theologians say that that was to reflect the number of sorts of fish that were in the Sea of Galilee. But that's not important anyway. They had a marvellous catch. The nets were so full, they had a job to drag them to the shore. So what does this story tell us then? Those of us who look at the resurrection narratives and see again in these stories the actual truth of what went on. You see, the gospel writers didn't try to deceive us to say that everything was hunky and dory, that they recognized Jesus straight away. They didn't do that. They don't attempt to do that. They're entirely honest. But through it all comes the truth, the affirmation that Christ was alive. He'd met with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He'd come to doubting Thomas. Now he appeared on the beach and he prepared a meal for them. He prepared breakfast for them. And that's marvellous. The God of all creation, the incarnate God, making a little breakfast for his followers at the side of Lake Galilee. It's a wonderful story, and a story that should give us encouragement as well. So what can we say? Do you get times in your life, perhaps, when you have doubts and uncertainties? When we go and live in this world of which we are a part, which is completely secularised by now, and we are losing, in a sense, the sort of Christian basis of our nation, even. And yet, there are those who seek the Lord, who seek some reality, some truth in the world that is full of lies. We've seen that here in Greenfield in recent years. Young men and women who have come into the family of the church, looking for something more than the world can offer. And that's something that we are able to meet with the truth of the Word of God as to who Jesus is. You know, when you think that Jesus appeared once again to Simon Peter, this lost cause who denied his Lord 3 times, he wanted Peter to know that he was cared for, that he was important. Nathaniel, who said, could anything good come from Nazareth? He was there. That man was full of cynicism. He was there. And Jesus appeared to him and all the others and prepared for them a meal. You see, Jesus doesn't give up on lost causes. Jesus doesn't give up on any of us. We sung the words tonight of Amazing Grace. John Newton, a slave driver. He who separated families under the cruel slave trade for many, many years, who came to a realization of the amazing grace and forgiveness of God to save a wretch like me, who cared for even someone like me. And that's what we know as those who come to the Lord. Whatever our past, wherever we've come from, whatever sins have been part of our lives, when we come to him, we won't be cast away. We won't be cast out. What does he do? He prepares a meal for those who are doubted him. Those who are doubting. He wants you to feed them there. He wants you to care for them. And that's the love of God in Jesus. He wants to care for us. We break bread around this table. And we come as the family of God's people to be fed, not only in the affirmation of our faith, but to be fed on the word and the joy that we know when we trust and believe in him. Because that's the God of the Bible. That's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the Lord Jesus Christ invites us to be those who would trust and believe and to know his fatherly and loving care. He will not. He cared for these men. He didn't scold them. He just said, come and have breakfast with me. Isn't that wonderful? The King of glory, who is beyond all that we could imagine in his greatness, he who left the realms of glory for the cross on Calvary, prepared breakfast for those he loved. And he did love them. He called them friends. We are friends of Jesus tonight, let me tell you, every one of us. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. but a privilege to carry. We can talk to him. There's an old hymn, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. I hope you know him tonight. I hope you know him as that friend. I hope you will trust and believe in him that will enable you, as he enabled these men, who in a few short weeks will be filled with the Holy Spirit from on high and will go out to change the world. And you and I are those who are his disciples today. Dear friends, don't doubt, don't be uncertain. Know that he wants to see the servant king. And he comes and he speaks words of gentleness and peace to all who would come to him. And what about the miraculous catch then? It's an amazing story, isn't it? Why do you think that they caught nothing? Could that be of divine origin? Maybe. Did Jesus want through the fact that they were unable to go back to do what they were doing before, because they couldn't really do that anymore, because the nets would be empty? And you know, dear friends, when you and I come to Christ, we can't go back to as we were. The nets are empty. There's nothing that the world there can give to you and me. There's nothing that the world can offer you and I that will give us what Jesus offers. We can cast our nets into the worlds of sin and rebelliousness. But I tell you one thing, we can cast our nets sometimes in the cold indifference that can come to our hearts if we allow the flame of faith to burn slowly in our souls. But there's no one to compare with him. We sung tonight, great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father. You won't find pleasure in the things of the world after you've come to Christ. Because the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, it's an absolute amazing truth that we find here. But when you listen to him, your nets will be full. 153 of them, yeah. We don't know how many fish types were there, but there was a lot of fish. Overflowing, yeah. That's the love of God. That's what God gives to us when we cast our nets according to his way, when we follow in his ways, when we are obedient to his word. The blessings come, the confidence comes. It can deal with all the disappointments and frustrations we know in our lives. We can know that we are in the counsel of God, and the God of our creation feeds us as he fed the disciples on that beach with a charcoal fire, and he made breakfast for them. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. That's the gospel of grace. That's the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the story that Jesus told of the prodigal son. Remember, he cast his net. Yeah, cast it far and wide in loose women, in drunkenness, in debauchery and sin. Yeah, his net was entirely empty. Let me tell you, he could not draw on friendship anymore because his friends had deserted him. But what happened when he turned his face home? When he returned into his father's house, the nets were full with warmth, welcome, and grace beyond his deserving. That's the good news. Dear friends, let's be those who are obedient to the calling that God has placed upon them. That's what I pray for the young people who have been recently baptized here in Greenfield. I pray that this is not the end of the road, but the beginning. That they will trust and believe in him, that they will grow in faith and knowledge of him. Because now that they have committed their lives to Christ, they have a friend. They have a sovereign protector. They have someone who is with them and will never leave them nor forsake them. It's the truth of us all, dear friends. Because that's what Jesus has promised to us. You know, count your many blessings, the old song says. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Can you look back in your life tonight and know that that is true? The joys and the surprises that have come because we have trusted and believed. Those moments when perhaps of sadness have come and illness and infirmity, the joy to know that we have someone who is there who cares for us, who feeds us by his word and will give to us our confidence and hope for each new day. You know, the fact is that here we have the truth of that word. Their nets were filled. And the psalmist said the same, my cup runneth over. It is all of God. It is all of his provision. It is all of his grace, and we have nothing to compare with it. Nothing at all to compare with it. Because the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And then, of course, this special relationship that Jesus had with Peter comes here. And that's important as well. While we find that what Jesus said here was for all the disciples. There was something special for Peter. And that is something that is recognized here. Because the word says, when they had finished eating, they finished their meal, Jesus turned to Simon Peter, son of John, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? And of course Peter said, you know that I love you, feed my lambs, care for my flock. And you see, we're seeing here a prelude to the day of Pentecost, I believe. We're seeing when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon those believers, Peter among them in that upper room. What was their task after this? What was the commission that God had given them? Immediately Peter and John went out and they preached the word of God in the streets of Jerusalem. And the church was formed. Feed my lambs. And that's the ministry of the church to this day. What are the lambs? The lambs are the young sheep. Those who are perhaps immature in the faith, our young people, our children. We have a commission to feed them. To feed them on the word of God that they might grow in faith and knowledge of him. And then here's the second time. You know, Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Who are the sheep? Well, it's enough for us to remember that Jesus is the good shepherd. Even the sheep that wandered from the fold was special to him. Bring the sheep back. Care for my sheep. That's the ministry of the church. Caring for each other in Jesus' name. That's this ministry. The ministry of our officers. The ministry of every church member. That we would feed together. We might grow in faith and knowledge of him. But that care must be the groundwork of the church. That which we are called to do. We are not a religious club. We are those who are called in Christ to be the people of God and to care for one another and to love one another within the church family of which we are a part. The lambs, the young, the sheep, the more mature, are all implicated here. We are all part of this work. And that's why the gospel net is spread far to bring people into the church of Christ that they might come to a knowledge of his redeeming love as well. And the third time, so Simon Peter, do you love me? And Simon replied, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep the second time. But see, what's happened here? When we think back, Jesus making breakfast. Jesus telling them to cast their net and having the abundance of that catch. And that abundance is ours in Christ. When we hearken to his word, when we are obedient to him, that cannot compare with anything the world can offer. But here now, we have the commission that is given to the church, the commission that will be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Friends, as we gather here tonight, let's be sure that this and every church that bears the name of Christ is called to this wonderful commission of feeding the flock of God. Let's remember that Jesus implied within this story the abundance of grace and the providence of love that he gives to every believer that ensures us that we know that we are those who are of the Father, and what we receive in his presence and in the presence of the church is incomparable with anything the world can offer. Don't get me wrong, there are things we enjoy in the world and God doesn't deny us that. But if the world becomes our priority, if influence and money is on the throne of our hearts, if we see, as we see, the abundance of all that is happening in terms of the evil of the world out there, where capitalism and all the different political philosophies are being expounded as the means of man's salvation, they are empty. They are worthless compared to this. Because this is of eternal worth. And when you have trusted and believed in him, those are the promises. Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room, I'm going to prepare a place for you. We are secure in the confidence of the gospel tonight. We know where we are going. But we have this responsibility of feeding the flock of God. We are called to be a community of faith in a faithless world. We are called, like Peter, to offer ourselves on the altar of service for him, as Peter did. And we know that that is the will of the Father. That is why Jesus came, to redeem the lost and to give us that eternal and wondrous hope. So, dear friends, as we gather here tonight and as we have looked at this third and final appearance of Jesus, let's remember what it means to us. Let's be confident in the gospel to which God has called us. Let us know that in him we find all that we will need. In him we have an eternal friendship that is grounded in the simple act of love that Jesus showed to his disciples here. He is the same Christ who meets with you and me. And let's be sure, we have been given that commission to go to the furthest corners of the earth, to spread the gospel of grace, and to call all into the family of God's people, to care for each other, and to love each other as Christ has loved us. That's the confidence and that's the hope we have. I was reading Bernard Manning's book, Refreshed by Grace, and yes, he said something quite revealing in that book. He said, sometimes it's easier for us to say that we love God when the sun is shining and everything's going well, but it's even far more of an experience when we trust God, when we trust God as well. We can love him, yes, we do, but do we fully trust him? When we trust him, dear friends, everything changes. When we trust him, we have that confidence and hope that Peter would have had here. Because Jesus said to him, follow me. Let's follow him. Let's give praise to his name. And let's give thanks that the resurrected, ascended Christ is the one who calls us as his church in these days to be his people, to share the good news of Jesus, and to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Tonight, dear friends, we've had breakfast with the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know he does that for you and me? Simple love, care and grace extended to each and every one of us. As Newton declared, if we'd been here 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, there's no less time to sing God's praise than when we first began. Amen.